Okay, we're going to call the meeting to order. This is a regularly scheduled meeting of the Committee of the Whole. And let the record show that all the aldermen are here tonight. I'm Dawn Vogelsberg, alderman of the 3rd Ward, and yes, the mayor is still here with us. This is just part of the new initiative this year where we, the aldermen rotate the chairmanship of the Committee of the Whole meeting. And I don't know how, being a V, I got up so early, but here I am. Okay, so we have a lot of interesting things going on tonight. Our first item of business is to recognize the 2010 Preservation Award recipients. And first, we'd like to turn the award over to Carla Kulfus, our historic planner of the city.
Thank you. I have a few introductions with regard to each of the awards, so I'd like to just to start off with some introductory comments. Thank you, Mayor Burns, and thank you, Alderman Vogelsberg. Tonight I'm pleased to present to you the City of Geneva's Preservation Awards for 2010. The awards have taken place biennially since 2005, and this is the third time where the city has awarded property owners, contractors, and architects who have performed improvements on historic properties. The awards are chosen by a jury of preservation professionals and architects outside of the city of Geneva. This year's jury included Jan Mangers, who's the preservation director for the city of Aurora, Larry Scher, who works in the landmarks division for the city of Chicago, Michael Lambert, who is an architect with Aris Architects down in Plainfield and also the former chair of the Plainfield Historic Preservation Commission, and also Doug Carre, who is the village planner for the Village of Oak Park. And some of you may remember Doug Carre. He used to be the city planner here in Geneva. As staff, I facilitate the jury's review by providing before and after photographs of over 45 projects, which were performed since 2008. The jury sat down and initially reviewed all the before and after photographs, and then we went on a tour of the projects that they shortlisted. The jury chose the awards. I only provided the background for the projects. Just as a side note, these are some of the photos that Doug took of the jury out in action. That's the back of my head and a couple of the jury members. Here I'm making a funny face at the building, but and Doug's still holding the camera. So, you know, it's nice to show the jury in action out on 3rd Street. The first category tonight, the jury chose 9 projects that stood out and were award-worthy. What was interesting about this year's project list was that most of the projects were smaller in nature, certainly a sign of the times, but also that small changes make a big difference. The commission is charged with reviewing permit applications for exterior improvements. These improvements continue to show the commitment and dedication that owners of historic properties have. So starting out, we're going to start with the exterior rehabilitation residential category. And the first project we'd like to highlight is the property at 502 South 4th Street. Jennifer and John Rittenhouse were faced with deteriorated wood siding and wood detailing and repaired and replaced the wood as needed. Their contractor, Matt Trainer, performed the work. The Rittenhouses have made a substantial commitment to their property with the previous addition to the property and continued improvement projects. One of the jurors said that this is a quality restoration of a landmark building. So if I could ask Jennifer Rittenhouse and Matt Trainer to come forward and the mayor to present them their certificates.
Check, check, check. You know, 2 former mayors used to live in that house? Did you know that? Yeah, the other one was Mayor, who was it? Well, Coughlin, but there was another one, wasn't there? I thought there was a mayor way back when. Well, I couldn't afford it. That's why I rent a cheap place further west, so my apologies. But Jennifer and John, this is for you. There's a beautiful certificate that reads 2010 Historic Preservation Award. The certificate is provided. Correction, awarded to Jennifer and John Rittenhouse for excellence in exterior rehabilitation and stewardship of the property at 502 South 4th Street. So congratulations. And this is for Matt. I just assumed they were together. Good God, scandal. And so this is to Matt Trainer. Trainer Built is your organization. And that's for you. Thank you. Do you guys want to say something?
Oh, thank you. We appreciate it. It's been an honor. And we've done so much work on the house. Matt's been great working with us. And it's fun to do. And it's never ending.
And you have a couple. There's some little ones in that house, too. Where are they?
Back row.
Oh, there they are, the back row. Hey, guys.
Yeah,
wow, do you have your own rooms? Is it cool? Do you guys play in that upstairs area, the cupola? That is groovy, man. That's going to be a cool room when you're a teenager. Don't you think, Mom? No? Matt, how about you?
Oh, I would just like to thank the Rittenhouses for keeping me in mind and letting me work on their house. So I enjoyed myself.
And how long did it take?
I think we were there for almost 5 weeks, completely tearing everything down and redoing it all. Quite the ordeal.
Did the coffins leave anything behind that you want to tell us about?
Money.
Nothing, huh? Nothing. Wow. No comment from the builder. That's awesome. Well, congratulations to you both. And thank you very much. Thank you.
The second award in the exterior rehabilitation residential goes to Colleen and John Stetzel. And their architect, Sean Gallagher. The Stetzels also, they worked with our commission member, Sean Gallagher. The jury's comments included great work on a smaller home, bringing back its original character, an impressive loss of interior square footage for improving the character. What they did here was they removed that second story sleeping porch and restored the original facade of the building. So they did lose some square footage for this improvement. They used a historic photograph that documented this in their work. So if Colleen and John Stetzel will come forward, please.
And they didn't get seats either. That's a bummer. Colleen and John, welcome. Thank you very much. Colleen, how are you? That's two L's and two E's, the Irish way to spell it. Well done. Well done. I think our friend Carla wants a photo, too. Microphone's yours. Say something pithy.
I lost my voice yesterday, so thank you very much. It's very nice to be recognized. It's, I don't know why people choose to live in old houses, but this is one of the very few benefits of doing that, I guess.
Just thank you. We appreciate it being recognized.
Thank you for your hard work.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you very, very much.
Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Okay, our next project, we're moving on to the exterior rehabilitation commercial. And Mr. Mike Apps and his wife Joy are the property owners of this building. Using a facade improvement grant, Mr. Apps and his contractor Wes Rep of RGI Construction removed the awning and the plywood material covering the transom windows, repaired and restored the glass transom windows, and repainted the facade. In addition, the second floor windows, which were not original to the building, were replaced with wood replacement windows. One of the jurors commented that it is nice to see such a commitment on a commercial building. So if Mike and Joy will come forward.
Now, these are no strangers to the city of Geneva, of course. So, I mean, Joy. Mike's a stranger, but he's just a strange guy. So. And that photo, of course, is just slightly dated because now, of course, the beautiful building is home to Cradles and All, which just had their grand opening last week. And so congratulations to Mike and Joy for another new extraordinary tenant.
Photo time.
I'd like to say thank you to Carla because I wouldn't have done this without Carla. She kind of made it a lot easier to deal with the historic part of the project. So
thank
I
you.
Think we should take our hats off to Carla because it wouldn't have happened without her. And I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mike and Joy. If you haven't been in the building yet, you should check it out. We all know Christina Garcia, who owns the new shop that's there, and the work that Mike and Joy and Wes rep. Where's Wes tonight?
He's not here.
Thanks, Mike. Wes is a Geneva High School graduate who obviously did extraordinary work, so check it out. It's beautiful. And kudos indeed to Carla for helping Mr. Apps. Joy, a pleasure to work with. Mike, a little difficult, but well done.
Mike was great to work with as well. Our next project, Mr. Miguel Perez recently took over the city barbershop on West State Street, and when working on the exterior with Hector Montana, they removed the sign and found the historic sign underneath and repainted it. The jury found that this is a treasure to have, as there are not many of this type of signage left, and that it is super sharp. So if Miguel Perez and Hector Montana can come forward.
Mr. Perez and Mr. Montana, congratulations.
I didn't even know this award existed, but it's a pleasure working here in Geneva, and look forward to meeting a lot of the people that live here. Come by and see us at City Barbershop. So, this is Hector. He did the work. So.
I did some of the work. We had his nephew in here too. He did the barber pole, so I don't want to take all the credit. But we weren't expecting this, and I'm shocked right now. I really am, so I don't know what to say. Usually when I'm holding the mic, I'm usually doing karaoke, so unbelievable. Thank you very much. No, thank you very much. I still need the words in the TV. Thanks. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Thank you. So it may seem a little strange that we are awarding ourselves with preservation awards tonight, but the jury found these next two awardees exceptional. So Chuck Lencioni led the way for the exterior improvement projects here at City Hall, working with John Harris of All American Exterior Solutions. The roof was replaced and the copper ridge and decorative details were restored. And working with Mike Dreesen of Dreesen Construction, the porch steps were restored. The jury was quick to point out that restoration of historic elements on a municipal building is rare, and specifically from Jan Magers from Aurora, who lives in a house designed by Eugene Malmer, who designed City Hall. She said that this is a tribute to a significant architect. So if Chuck Lencioni will come forward, I don't know if Mike Dreesen made it or John Harris made it either. Okay.
It should be noted for all the millions of people watching at home, and for those of you in the audience that don't know, not only is Chuck Lencioni a dedicated city employee and obviously has had a long-standing love affair with the city that he's called home, but he's also the 2010 Swedish Days Parade Marshal. Isn't that cool? I hate to give Chuck the mic, but I will.
Thank you, Mayor. I just want to say thank you basically to the council for their support of the two projects and spending the additional monies that were necessary to have those two projects completed. And thank you.
Yeah, Mr. Piper asked if Chuck actually built this building, which is why he was so proud of
it. Are they?
And in the spirit of historic preservation, that's why it's hotter than you know what in here today. No, they did not.
And for preservation planning, the jury felt that the new design guidelines are user-friendly, well illustrated, and visually accessible. So did Scott Roy make it? No. Well then, Dick, do you want to come forward? Because you and I get recognized with this. So.
Who's taking the picture? We'll have Gene or Dawn.
I had Mr. Cook over here in our front row offer to take the picture.
I'm sure he did. I've known Mr. Cook for years. I'd suggest not.
Don't forget my neighbor, Nanette.
Is Nanette here tonight?
Thank you.
That is Bill Cook, ladies and gentlemen, taking the photo.
Yeah.
Beautiful shady lane.
And we'll hear more about that in a little bit. And moving into our honorable mention section of the Preservation Awards. Our first honorable mention award goes out to the work performed at the former Geneva Hotel at 226 West State. Also a recipient of the facade improvement grant, stone sills and lintels were repaired or replaced. Kudos to Mike Simon, the property owner, and to Art Seiler, the mason. The jury felt that credits should be made for the efforts to match the stone lintels and that the work is close enough to appear the same yet different. So if Mike can come forward, and I know I called Art, I'm not sure if he made it either.
No? Okay. Mr. Simon's here, no stranger as well to the citizens of Geneva.
Anybody watching at home, this will be a commercial for Art Seiler. The project took about twice as long as he or we intended because he cut every stone meticulously and made sure that it was exactly the way that he wanted it. Once it was the way he wanted it, he called me out to see if it was the way I wanted it, and then he rethought it and oftentimes redid it to make sure it was exactly the way that it should be. So the man is amazing. We're very fortunate to have had him.
And, of course, that building is also famous for something more recent, which is?
Road to Perdition.
Road to Perdition, exactly. Mike was the guy who actually shot Tom Hanks when he was leaving the hotel. Little known fact. I'm just kidding. Just you're going to be arrested tonight at about 10 o'clock.
Did Angelo Dangles arrive or Howard Wine? Okay, no. All right, then our final award, I should say, I'll just introduce it. Angelo Dangles is the property owner of the building at 10 to 12 South 3rd Street, where the chamber office is located. And the work here that was done was the replacement of the transom windows over the three doorways. The jury felt that a nod should be given to this work, as small things make a big difference. Although a small project, it is these small projects which can slowly begin to restore a building's authenticity. And finally, our last award tonight goes to Steve Burnham. The work of Steve Burnham on his property at 328 South 3rd Street continues. Steve needed to replace the fence surrounding the rear yard, and instead of doing so with a simple wood fence, he took the detail of the verge board from the front of the home and used it in the fence design for the rear. The jury felt that this was outstanding and that he really looked at his building to design the fence. Steve?
Congratulations, Steve.
Well, thank you. Well, this was a fun project. Gothic Revival Home was built in 1869, and that was the advent of the scroll saw. So when I started taking a look at what to do with the fence, I realized that instead of doing it the old way, what we did is we traced the original barge boards and then had a computerized cutout of this. So spanning 140 years, the same kind of process, one just done that much quicker than the other. It was fun. This was last year. I'm working on the front bay this year, and I hope to be back next year.
And you do the work yourself, correct?
I was involved.
But this is a little sidestep to history here. Steve Burnham has been in the retail industry pretty much all your life, despite a brief stint with IBM, I believe.
Correct.
But your father made history. And how did your dad make history?
My father was president and chairman of the board of Marshall Field & Company when he passed away at a very young age. So retailing was always at the dinner table. And it remains there.
And true, your father was on the cover of?
One of those, Business Week.
As like Man of the Year, right?
I guess.
Yeah, it was pretty, he's so humble. It's unbelievable, isn't it?
Not the place to do that.
Sure it is. Why not? I got the microphone. The cameras are rolling. What the heck?
Okay.
I think that's pretty cool, man.
Well, thank you.
Steve is on the cover of several magazines as well, but we can't go
there
into it.
So. you just mail the check, or what do you
do? Yeah, we mail the check, yes. Yeah, if you don't see it soon, Steve, give Carla a call.
Thank you all for the opportunity to present the Preservation Awards.
And thank you, Carla, and thanks to the jury, and congratulations to all the recipients. And if you guys want to take off, good plan. And we'll just keep rolling with the meeting. Our next item for consideration is to consider a draft ordinance amending Title IV, Chapter 2 through 7, liquor license fees and number, adding one Class B3 and one Class E2 liquor license to the Geneva City Code.
So moved.
Thank you.
Second.
Motion by Pollack, second by Hill. Okay, and do we have any questions? Oops, I'm sorry. This is going to be for Preservation Bread and Wine at 513 South 3rd Street. Are they here tonight? No, okay. All right, well, this, okay, then we'll just have a vote then, I guess, if there's no questions. All in favor? We can just do a voice vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any nays? Any abstentions? And I'll vote aye, so that's a unanimous vote. Okay, our next one is to consider a landmark designation for the property at 716 Shady Avenue. And I see that Mr. Cook is here, and Carla's going to be back to present any information. Can I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, Piper motions, Pollack seconds. Okay, and then Carla will present, and then we'll take some questions.
I have a brief introduction followed by a short presentation by Michael Dixon, and then the property owners wish to just present a bit as well. I'm pleased to present to you the landmark nomination for the property located at 716 Shady Avenue. The property is owned by William and Amy Cook. Mr. Cook is here tonight, and he will also say a few words. I will also turn it over to Michael Dixon, who submitted the landmark nomination on behalf of the Cooks. This is a photograph of the front or the east elevation of the property, and the property also includes this circa 1930s coach house, which faces Forest Avenue. The landmark criteria is outlined in the code as follows, and the items that are highlighted in red are the items that the property complies with in the criteria. It is located within the corporate boundaries of the city. It is over 30 years of age in whole or in part. It was built in 1897. And then one of the significance criteria, and this property complies with two of the significance criteria, that it is identified with a historic person and that it embodies the distinguishing characteristics of an architectural type and with indigenous materials and craftsmanship. It also possesses a high degree of integrity of design, materials, workmanship, and setting, and it embodies other qualities and characteristics that, in the judgment of the commission, make it a candidate for consideration as a landmark. The property at 716 Shady is associated with Henry Bond Fargo. Mr. Fargo built this home and the adjacent home that used to be at 710 Shady for his daughter and his son. The property at 710 Shady was demolished in 2004. Mr. Fargo was a two-term mayor of Geneva, one-term state representative for Illinois. He was also president of the First National Bank of Geneva. He was a prolific developer with projects in Geneva, notably the Geneva Theater Block, the Fargo Theater Block. He also developed projects in Sycamore and DeKalb. What's interesting to note is that he built this property and the property next door for his daughter and his son, but they never lived there. And in what was the year that the newspaper article had the rental, Mike? In 1907, they listed a rental for this property specifically at $15 a month. So they never lived there. Let's see. Mr. Cook said it's gone up. The property is an excellent example and unique example of the Queen Anne style. The Queen Anne style of architecture is most often seen in the example on the left, which is your typical painted lady. This is here in Geneva, the Davis residence at 1101 Batavia Avenue. Notably, the tower, the spindle work, the asymmetrical facade, and wraparound porch are indicative of that Queen Anne style. Here in Geneva, we also have smaller examples of Queen Anne in the wood clapboard, also like in this home at 213 South Fifth Street. Here the facade is symmetrical, but the varying wood shingling and textures make it a Queen Anne style. The property is also unique in its use of stone. Most stone residential buildings here in Geneva are Italianate, like the Augustus Harrington home at 416 South First Street, or in the Greek Revival style, like the Eben Conant home at 208 South First Street. The home's Queen Anne style is evident in its avoidance of plain, flat walls and the textural facade treatment with the local quarried limestone, wood shingles, and diamond-patterned windows. The home maintains a high degree of integrity with the maintenance and preservation of original exterior building materials. The addition, which Mr. Dixon will speak about, was attached to the rear of the home, increasing the square footage of the home without permanently altering its street presence. Finally, in the judgment of the commission, the home embodies other qualities and characteristics that make it an excellent candidate for preservation, as only one of the two cottages built by Mr. Fargo for his son and daughter is still standing. And here you can, in the photograph, you can see the two properties. The one on the right was the one that was demolished in 2004. The landmark review process, Mr. Dixon submitted a landmark nomination on March 4th. The HPC held a public hearing last week on May 18th, and the HPC has recommended review and approval by the City Council of the landmark nomination. CAL review for tonight and hopefully for City Council review on June 7th. And I'm going to turn it over to Mike Dixon, who's just going to talk about the addition and the rehabilitation to the property. Please put yours down.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks, Carla. I'd like to first say that the Cooks, Amy and Bill Cook, are the best historical custodians this house could have. And I said that in 2006 when the Keatings, Janet and Gerard, I came here to have you honor their building as a landmark in Geneva as well, and that's the first Fargo house. And the other two were built also by Henry Bond Fargo. And when we started the design process, it was important to understand what we were working with. And so we went to the Secretary of the Interior Standards as well as the city guidelines for rehabilitation of historic structures. And there were actually several of the standards that we kept in mind as we did the design of the addition. First of all, I'd like to point out in the site plan, the floor plan that's shown, you actually see the addition attached to a part of the house that had been modified early on with a flat roof kind of kitchen mudroom structure that was 14 by 16 feet. We actually took that part as the point of adding the addition so that we could create a buffer in between the addition and the original building and a courtyard in the middle. And by doing that, we were able to comply with the Secretary of the Interior's guidelines, and specifically number 5, which is distinctive features, finishes, and construction techniques are examples of craftsmanship that characterize a property shall be preserved. And 6, deteriorated historic features shall be repaired rather than replaced. And I'll show a couple pictures of that in a second. New additions, exterior alterations, or related new material and construction shall not destroy historic materials that characterize the property. The new work shall be differentiated from the old and shall be compatible with the massing, size, scale, and architectural features to protect the historic integrity of the property and its environment. And then also, number 10 in the Secretary's guidelines and standards, new additions and adjacent or related new construction shall be undertaken in such a manner that if removed in the future, the essential form and integrity of the historic property and its environment would be unimpaired. And that's what we did with the L-shaped addition, and projection out to the back as a screen porch with an L-shape for the family room and kitchen, and on the second level, a guest bedroom. I think the important thing, too, I want to point out the picture on the upper right here is of the base of some curved glass, leaded glass, that actually opens out into that courtyard area. And that's the picture in the center, showing the interior of the curved glass. And the picture on the left, on the lower left, is showing the courtyard and the transition from the mudroom that actually is still encompassed into the addition that's now part of the kitchen, and a stair hall actually to the basement at that point too. The other features in the house that were restored include the stairs in the upper right on this this group of pictures. And in the lower left is the new addition family room, which has the beam ceiling, which mimics the ceiling in the original living room in the upper left-hand corner, a painted and stained wood beam ceiling. And so by emulating certain features in the house and also respecting the historic integrity of the house, and getting the right contractor, Royal Builders, to do the work who understands the importance of historic integrity, we were able to put together a package which I think the Cooks, again, will be a great historical custodian for this house. I'll turn it over to Bill Cook.
Thank you, and thank you for your attention to this matter. I'd like to start by thanking Mike Dixon and Carla. They've just been terrific to work with throughout it. It's a credit to our community that we've got people and assets like them that are available to us. This house, the addition, frankly, had to be built because Kevin and Scott Vincent and I used to drink in the old addition, and after one of our parties, we had to destroy it.
Yeah.
So there was no question that the addition would have to be put on. And in the process of doing that, we discovered several things about the house. I'm not a, I guess what would be considered an old house person, but you kind of fall in love with an old house. But then I found out that many times that love is not reciprocated by the old house. The first thing that I noticed is when we had some Polish masons come in from the city to do the rehabilitation work and to expose some of the walls that had been previously covered, they got very excited by looking at the masonry work that had been done on this house back in the 1895 time frame. They pointed out to Jim Webb, who was our general contractor, and to me that this is not the way masons work today. You can literally see the fingerprints and the handprints and the marks that masons left in those sides of the walls as they put the masonry in by hand to make sure that it had a nice texture. And in many respects, it was a way of signing their own name on the house, and it's just quite remarkable. As has been mentioned, the stone was quarried in Batavia, and you can still see the chisel marks in many places throughout the house as you go through it. It's just a great house. It's an enormous amount of fun to live in. We have a hitching post in the front yard that we believe is original to the premises. It's got two rings on it. I invite you to come by and see it. I have suggested to Kevin that maybe that would be a good place for me to tie up my three-year-old sons to keep them under control. Kevin thought that was not such a good idea. In any event, we've had an enormous amount of fun, and I hope that you'll give favorable consideration to this. And again, thank you so much for your attention.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cook. Does anyone have any questions for Mr. Cook, Mr. Dixon, or Ms. Kulfus about this?
I have one comment, Madam Chair.
Of course.
I have had the pleasure of being in the Cook's home, and obviously Mr. and Amy Cook are gracious hosts, to say the least. And Bill is the proud father of 2 3-year-old twins, so very exciting. And why aren't they with us tonight?
Well, I thought you wanted to call this meeting to order.
Well, you got all the one-liners, don't you, Cook? Unbelievable. So much for Jay Leno. That's a beautiful home.
Thanks.
All right, if no one has any questions, we do have a motion and a second. So all in favor?
Aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Any abstentions? I'll vote aye, so that's unanimous. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
We'll be happy to come over and drink with Mr. Finson, Vern Samuel.
You're all welcome.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, our next item for consideration is to consider the draft resolution granting conditional site plan approval for nursing home facility, Meadowbrook Manor, within the OR Office Research District, MML properties. And we have the Director of Community Development, Dick Unsch, here to give us some more information.
Yes, good evening.
The floor is all yours.
Thank you. Just wanted to recount here. The Plan Commission did consider this site plan back on March 11th and did recommend approval of the site plan with two conditions. And before I get into the conditions, let me say that for a project of this size, 250-bed nursing home for folks in need of that level of care and rehabilitation, this went very smoothly through the Plan Commission review in terms of the basic code compliance issues that the Commission deals with. The folks, SAS Architects and Chris Lannert and others on the Meadowbrook team certainly did a fine job on this project. But we do have two conditions of approval that are tied to the project. One is we're looking for a written agreement between Meadowbrook Manor and Del Nor with respect to a second access that is required for the project, and final engineering approval of the final engineering plans. With respect to that second access, there has been quite a bit of discussion in recent weeks over this, and there are basically three access options that have been discussed, one directly north of the site, one directly to the east of the site, and one directly to the south, to Kesslinger Road. The two alternatives to the north and east do involve sign-off or approval or agreement with Del Nor Hospital. At this point, staff believes that it's critically important that this agreement be worked out prior to building permits being issued for the project. Access to this property is critical in the event of an emergency situation. Through the work that their team has done with the county staff, Division of Transportation, we know the access on Kesslinger Road will be a right-in, right-out only access. And so a second means of access to this property for emergency services is important and critical. And the development staff is recommending that that condition with respect to the agreement on access for that second access be accomplished prior to building permit issuance. And with that, I know their team is here. They may wish to comment or have answer questions.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Unsch. First, before we open it up for discussion, I'd like to have someone entertain a motion. And
for approval.
Would that be with the conditions, Mr. Unsch?
Satisfaction of the two conditions that the Director Unsch has.
Okay, thank you, Alderman Hill.
Second.
Okay, second from Alderman Brown. Okay, and if someone from the Meadowbrook team would like to explain anything?
Just briefly, I'm Glenn Setch, and I'm the attorney for the Meadowbrook Manor. With respect to the alternatives for access, we would really like to have the ability to exercise any of the three options, only two of which require an agreement with Del Nor in terms of emergency access. It is at least potential, has some potential to have an emergency access off of Kesslinger, and we'd like to have that option. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions from the committee? Alderman Brown.
Yes, I noticed that they have a stub of a driveway to the west on the north side of the property, which looks like it might reasonably connect onto something to the west if and when that property is developed. Is that your idea that eventually there could also be another access to the west, depending on what develops to the west of you?
That access point is out of the second phase of this building program when the nursing home gets expanded, and so that is another option that would be available, which would give us four opportunities.
You expect us to require some option to the west once you go to that second phase? Those are really interesting other options.
The thing that we are hopeful of is that, you know, working with staff and Geneva's cooperation, we feel that we'll probably be more successful working with Kane County Department of Transportation, getting that emergency access off of Kessinger. And then once we have that, be able to satisfy this condition and then move forward to building permit.
Mr. Lannert, just for the record, will you give us your name and address, please?
My name is Chris Lannert. I'm the landscape architect and planner for the project. My office is at 215 Fulton Street.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Alderman Flanagan?
Thank you. I just have a question. Does anybody know when the agreement is going to, I mean, how soon do you think that you can have this access road, or do you have any stumbling blocks, or I don't know what's happening, so.
If we didn't have any stumbling blocks, we wouldn't be here tonight, would we?
Right.
We've been working very diligently to try and get a cooperation agreement with Delnor, and while we have not been successful in getting that maintenance agreement, we have had conversations with KDOT, and we will be putting forth a petition to them probably within the week to get that emergency access point along Kessinger. And then we feel with that, that gives us the ability to go forward, and we'll continue to implement other phases of the project as the nursing home is built and as it goes into its next phases.
Okay, thank you.
If I can just briefly, that drive to the west was requested by the fire department, so we provided it.
Thank you. Alderman Piper.
Thank you, Alderman Holzberg. So, Delnor and KDOT are not on the same page. Is that what I'm hearing?
They're not separate.
They're really separate issues. Delnor, we have requested access to the north onto Delnor Drive from Delnor. They have worked with us over the last year or so. They would be interested in allowing us to have that, but only as a grass paver type of consequence, and then that's not permitted by your codes here in Geneva.
Okay.
Additionally, they were willing to give us access, as we spoke of at the Plan Commission meeting, between their two existing buildings. That would be a desirable access point to us, but we've been unable to work out a maintenance agreement to be able to get that access point secured. And so, therefore, going to KDOT, who's a different agency, has nothing to do with the ownership of the Delnor property. That's why we're putting forth that as the probably the best solution at this time.
Okay. It's getting a little bit clearer. Dick, could you come up and just explain when the attorney got up and spoke a little bit quick for me?
So yeah, well, the access option that's been discussed with KDOT, and we've had some dialogue with their staff, they are, I guess, amenable to receiving a petition from the City of Geneva that would basically call for a variance from their access spacing criteria, that is the county's access spacing criteria along county highways. And the idea here is that that variance, if granted, it has to be requested of the Transportation Committee over at the county, would have to be, at least according to KDOT staff, their recommendation would be that it be done in conformance with established KDOT standards for an emergency access. It's at that point that we're still trying to ascertain what is and isn't possible. Our discussions with KDOT here just this afternoon revealed that in their minds an emergency access is an access that would involve that landscape block, that grass block where the grass seed grows up in the block. And that an emergency access would also require some type of gate. Because in this case, if you can picture the, and I can put it up on the screen if you want, but the right-in, right-out drive off of Kesslinger, and this emergency access would be to the east on Kesslinger Road, kind of down in the southeast corner of the site. Because we've got 75% of the traffic on the trip distribution going to and from the site, coming from the intersection of Randall and Kesslinger, the concern that KDOT would have would be that if that were an open, unfettered access, that emergency access, that folks would choose to just violate that emergency access signage or whatever and simply travel out onto the street at that point, rather than taking the right-in, right-out route, which is quite convoluted if you obey traffic laws that we're all bound to. Let me explain that the idea of doing an emergency access with a grass block and a gated arrangement is something that's not acceptable to the development staff, because that access is not unfettered. That access has potential complications associated with it.
So the ideal access, let me just finish my thought. The ideal access between Delnor and the Meadowbrook folks that they can't come to terms on is over maintenance of that access. Delnor doesn't want to pick up the maintenance. Meadowbrook doesn't want to pick up the maintenance.
There may be
that's
more
what
involved,
I was getting from you guys. Is that not correct, guys? Could somebody answer that? Is that not what I'm understanding?
I guess I can answer that. I think the main impediment is cost, and it doesn't have anything to do with the access. They want to basically have the cost of a traffic signal picked up by Meadowbrook Manor. We're talking roughly $400,000, give or take.
That's not what a traffic signal costs. We pay for them all the time.
Well, this one apparently has to be tied into other signals, and there's other complications. But that's where it sits at this point. And there's a natural barrier to the development of that property, and that's the fact that we're surrounded on three sides by someone else.
Right.
And that makes emergency access essentially something that we can't provide as a matter of right, at least on three sides. And, of course, we can't do it as a matter of right, certainly not without KDOT approval on Kesslinger either.
Right.
And that's something that I think we need to be able to iron out with KDOT.
Did that answer you, Alderman Piper?
Yes, thank you.
Alderman Hill?
I'm still not sure of the situation. Can you bring up this picture on the screen so we can all see it? The one with the red lines and the access, automobile access or ambulance access or whatever it would be. It may not be red on the screen, but it is in your packet. So as I understand it right now,
This is you're going in this direction. You're going north. Okay, so here's the right in, right out access on.
Could you go full screen so we can see it better?
Yes, I can do that. Right. Let's see. Where am I here? Full screen. Flight show. Right. Yeah. Here we go. What you have here. This is out here on this end is north. Here's the east-west portion of Delnor Drive, north of the site. This is the access that has been subject of discussion between the Meadowbrook folks and Delnor. And then this is the right-in, right-out access we've been talking about here that KDOT has authorized. The second access or secondary access that's been discussed with KDOT would be down in this corner of the site. And would tie into this drive. The second access that's been discussed with Delnor folks and Meadowbrook involves a crossing right here between the two small office buildings, one-story office buildings on the site.
And that would allow a left turn, I presume?
At this point, yes.
Mm-hmm. That's another access to Kesslinger. It's an accident waiting to happen. Just like onto the drive or onto Kesslinger?
Well, this is on this. I'm sorry.
I'm up.
Hold on one
I'm
second.
Let me face
go back
hard.
One slide. I want to go back one slide.
What is A1?
See what I'm saying?
Just hit the back button.
Can't do that.
Hold on. I want to do something else here.
Rotate.
What I want to do is do this.
Yeah, page 31 of your package shows a rendering of the actual development,
yeah, we'll get to the other.
Which gives you a nice example, aerial view of the tentative, and I would argue preferred, access point, the Del Norte Drive. It does not show the secondary opportunity to the east, nor does it show this third or tertiary opportunity to the west or south. Excuse me.
Computer's churning. Here we go. Yeah, this is what I was looking for.
Yeah.
Sam?
Yes, sir.
I don't know if you can see this.
I've been looking at it all day.
Here's the subject property.
Sure.
Okay, and with the right in, right out, this was just one of the access options for people trying to move to and from this site with the right in, right out, to no other access if you're coming from the intersection of Kesslinger and Randall. You've got this kind of indirect route that would be, you know, through the hospital property on Del Norte Drive out here to Kesslinger Road, exiting at this point initially. Because there's no left turn out.
Is that where the light goes?
The light would be, the future light that we're discussing is in the PUD agreement for Del Norte Hospital, and it would be located at Fisher, out over
Fisher
here.
Fisher and Kesslinger?
Correct, out here.
Wait, say that again.
What's the light?
The contemplated light in the Del Norte planned unit development would be out here at Fisher. And Kesslinger someday.
Okay.
Correct.
Go ahead, Alderman Pollack.
Thank you, ma'am.
And then Pfeiffer.
So the developer is being asked to pay for the light at Fisher and Kesslinger, the entire cost?
I'm not sure exactly what the dealings are between Del Norte and
the access road. It's at this point up here. It's a signal at this point.
No.
There's no signal there.
No. There's no signal plan
right
for this site,
Fisher.
For this location.
There is no signal there, but that's where it's contemplated?
There is none, and there's none planned. We have a PUD agreement with Del Norte that stipulates when traffic warrants are met, the light would go at Fisher. This has all been worked through with KDOT years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do we have a consensus from the gentleman sitting in the front row? That's correct, that the light is not at Del Norte Drive, but it's down. Okay. So they're asking you to pay for the light at Fisher based on the PUD that was in design with KDOT.
We understand there's a financial consideration involved in their negotiations.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Go right ahead.
Thank you. Presently, the entrance into Del Norte Drive is a right-in, and one can also turn left coming out of that drive at this present time.
It's a full access.
Yes, full access road. And are they contemplating then only having that as a right in and right out? Is that the
current access?
Yes.
No.
So how do you intend to prevent those people exiting from that Del Norte to go east? They're going to be turning left there to get over to Randall Road, are they not?
They do that now.
They do that now.
It wouldn't be prohibited.
Alderman, I would sit there and say that they do that now. And as you can see on this aerial photograph, with the right-in, right-out configuration for this parcel, other than an illegal U-turn on Kesslinger or turning into one of the businesses on the south side of Kesslinger and turning around in their parking lots and coming back, that's what will happen. Now, we've got our traffic consultant here, and he can certainly go over the limited amount of traffic which will be generated by this nursing home. But we think this is kind of a convoluted route which will ultimately use Del Norte Drive anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we have not been successful in our negotiations with Del Norte. Obviously, in the last moments, it became a cost issue. But when we were originally talking to them, we were just talking about the maintenance of the roadways and the maintenance of those access roads, because those would only be secondary emergency access roads. There is no impact in terms of this facility at the right-in, right-out turn as we have proposed. It's safe, it's efficient, it meets all of our traffic criteria. Mike Worthman can explain that to you in detail if you need a traffic report on that. But we're just here looking for the alternate because there were no cross-access easements in any of the properties adjacent to us when Delnor came through for their approvals. If we would have had a emergency access or cross-access easement, we wouldn't be here. We've been unsuccessful in negotiating that with our neighbor. So now with your cooperation, we feel that we can petition KDOT for it. There might be some circumstances in terms of what KDOT requires that you, Geneva, might not go along with, but we'd at least like to try that in order to move this project forward.
Apparently your traffic consultant doesn't feel that there's going to be an impact of additional traffic flows along the residential area of Fisher Drive, and how has the community responded to that, or have they?
There was no one from Fisher Farms at our public hearing, so we were not aware of any conflicts. Again, the traffic study shows that the traffic is so minimal. I believe it's only 21 or 23 trips in our peak hour. Is that correct, Mike?
A little bit higher.
Okay. So therefore, really spread out, it's not going to impact the roadways. This is a very low traffic generating use.
Now, this is a 24/7 operation, is it not?
Correct.
How many employees will be using those the parking areas?
John, do you know the answer to that question?
He said 50 to 60.
Shift change, we run three shifts across the facility.
25 over all three shifts?
No, in peak times.
I didn't hear that.
Say 8 to 4.
Could you come up to the microphone, please?
And I think in the packet it did say that they had more than adequate parking, didn't it?
I saw
Strange?
That.
Yeah.
That's not my concern.
But, okay, we'll have him. And if you wouldn't mind starting with your
right.
name.
My name is Stephen Sessholtz. I'm with SAS Architects and Planners, and I'm the partner in charge of the project. In direct answer to your question, the nursing homes have three shifts, 6 to 3, I believe, 3 to 10, and then 10 over the evening. Your largest shift in this home is going to be approximately 60 employees during the 6 to 3 shift. Then it probably goes down to 30 and maybe 15 at night.
Okay. Thank you.
So we have a space for 135 cars, and you've got your 60 employees at your largest shift.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr.
Alderman
Chairman.
Singer? No.
I'm fine.
Alderman
you.
Pollack.
Thanks. For the traffic engineer, it's my understanding that warrants have to be met in order to install a traffic light. Are the warrants there?
Michael Worthman with KLOA. No, they're not there at this time. At the Fisher.
Correct.
In Kesslinger.
And will your project have such an impact that the warrants will be met?
No. We generate a very minimal volume of traffic. We will not add a significant amount of traffic to that intersection to add to for the warrants to be met.
So then why would you contemplate the light being installed on your dime?
We don't.
Okay.
They're asking us to install
right.
as part of the negotiations.
Ask and answer. Thank you.
Thank you.
Alderman Brown?
Thank you, Alderman Vogelsberg. I have a question for Dick Unch. Is the implication here that KDOT plans on having no direct access to that section along there, except for right turn in, right turn out, from Delnor all the way to Fisher? And will they enforce that on both on our side and on Batavia's side?
Well, that would be Geneva at that point, but
But the answer is yes. That there's,
it, no, the south side's still Batavia, of that of Kesslinger.
No, this is Kesslinger.
Hmm?
This is
oh, that's Kesslinger still Geneva. Road. I'm sorry. You're right. Yeah. It's still, but yeah. they intend on having no... So, some of those driveways on the south side, I've seen people pull out in the wrong direction.
Right, right.
The only way they can enforce that without having people break the law, it would seem to me, would be to put a median. Do they plan on putting a median through there?
We've had quite a bit of discussion about that, and it would be their preference to put... to require the median, but they've decided that they would not put the median in based on the concerns that staff expressed about access to those other properties on the south side of Kesslinger.
And those properties will still have the right to make left and right turns
in
and
out. That's correct.
Why are they ruling that this property does not have that right?
Well, part of this is time and place, because you do have a lot of development on the south side of the street that's been there for many years, and you've had an evolution in the standards that KDOT is using in regulating access to properties over many years. And so that's part of it. I did want to...
It doesn't seem to obey the consistency standard at all.
Well, certainly over time it's not consistent. But from what I've seen over the last 10 years or so that we've been working with KDOT on various projects... when it comes to this full access spacing on KDOT jurisdictional highways, they're looking for half-mile spacing on full access, and in between that, right in, right outs, and usually it's one or maybe two, and that's it.
I understand that the second egress point we're talking about, the one to the north onto Delano Hospital Drive, would be only for emergency vehicles.
That's correct.
To me, that's insufficient. To me, this property cries out to have a second full access point. That one would be perfect to the north, to as shown, as a full in-out access, and would relieve a lot of traffic problems and a lot of potential accidents and a lot of other things if that was a full right-in, right-out. Anything to the east makes no sense. Those are parking lots, and it makes no sense to have an egress from this property into someone else's parking lot. I know that property, so it seems to me that the only valid access is the one to the north at the moment because of the property. They're bounded on the west by another property owner. So I plan on voting against this because I don't like the fact that that egress to the north is being kept for emergency vehicles only, even if it is approved. Thank you.
If I could comment, there also is an access option to the east that also involves Delnor property between those two office buildings.
Those are parking lots, and as I say, I don't think it is a valid egress to egress into someone else's parking lot.
Understood.
That would not be a full egress point.
I understand.
That would be only an emergency. That one I could understand as being an emergency because it's from one parking lot into another. But the one to the north would be from their parking lot into a road which is built to city standards, as I understand the Delnor roads.
Right.
And that is the only place where there is an egress point to a road that is built to city standards that I can see on this map. Thank you.
I have an additional comment, if I might.
Mm-hmm.
And Dan was reminding me because we had focused, I had focused on our development staff comments earlier regarding emergency vehicle accessibility. I will tell you that the other concern that we have regarding this access situation or condition, the importance of that second access to the Delnor properties, either one in terms of our staff dialogue thus far, is really concerning the fact that we're looking at only one access, and it's a right-in, right-out access off of Kesslinger Road, and we are very concerned that folks coming from the intersection of Kesslinger and Randall going to the site and taking the right turn into the site, the coming out of the property, that there is going to be a temptation to compromise that that right out only and basically go around the end of the pork chop and basically violate laws. And we think that that has a potential safety hazard on Kesslinger Road with just traffic movements.
Especially if they see people on the other side of the street making the same turning motion.
So, you know, this on this map here, we show this route of someone obeying traffic laws and circulating back to the intersection of Kesslinger and Randall. But we do feel that this right-in, right-out constraint on access without a second access, it does put some pressure on that maneuver out of that right in, right out.
What's the applicant's desire?
Sorry. Alderman Pollock?
We would like to move forward and get this project built because this is a shovel-ready project. I have a client who's willing to move forward, but you're really tying our hands. We do not control Del Norte access. The city and your approvals to them did not require them to stub access to this particular piece of property. And outside paying for the traffic signal that you've required them to build based upon the project that they have, they're requiring this client to pay for that in consideration for this potential held hostage access point. So at this particular junction, the only vehicle that we see available to us is cooperating with you in KDOT in terms of the emergency access only out onto Kessinger Road. In no case will that give us a secondary full access point, Alderman Brown, but we didn't have that. Our first choice was a full access point on Kessinger, and then for the reasons Dick pointed out, it didn't meet their criterion because between this parcel being landlocked, surrounded by Del Norte, and the creation of Fisher Farm, we have two major intersections along Kessinger that did not exist previously, and so therefore we are between and betwixt. But again, this is a viable project. It's a 248-bed nursing home. It certainly would be a great addition to the city, both in terms of service as well as economic development. So we would like to work with you, the city, to request of the Transportation Committee to have them modify their policy for emergency-only access, and then maybe that would give us the opportunity to move forward.
Who owns the property to your west, may I ask? Is that appropriate?
That's part of Del Norte's property also. They bought that as part of their negotiations.
So you're completely surrounded.
Right. We're completely surrounded, Alderman. I'd like
KDOT
to point out.
KDOT and Del Norte. You're held hostage by KDOT and held.
Exactly. And I'd like to just point out that you've mentioned the emergency access that we proposed to the north. Del Norte has point blank refused to give us full access to the north and would only give us emergency access if we used Grass Creek, which is something that your ordinance does not favor. It precludes it.
The access to Del Norte Hospital Drive, is that a private road or a city road?
Private.
Private. It's Del Norte's.
Are there any right-of-ways or easements back there?
No.
No.
We're landlocked on 3 cents.
Okay, and next up we have Hill, Piper, and then Mr. Runch, if you could do a final clarification after the alderman. Go ahead, Alderman Hill.
Yeah, I've traveled that road, Del Norte Drive, whatever it's called, from Kesslinger northbound and southbound, and trying to get out of that southbound and make a left turn is just, I think I'm lucky I'm still alive. Is that where they are requiring you to pay for a traffic light, or did I misunderstand that location?
Yes, the traffic light will be at Fisher Farm Drive, not at the existing access to Del Norte, and then that will hopefully create enough gaps where the situation that you're talking about, Mr. Hill, would be at least more able to fit those gaps as you're trying to turn left from the existing Del Norte Drive.
Yes.
But the traffic control would be at Fisher Farm.
Okay, and Dick, I have a question about right in and right out only.
Okay.
Does our ordinance or our capability, planning capabilities allow us to have such a pork chop that is so long to the right or to the west that a person would actually have to make a U-turn to come out of that drive and go back east?
Well, what you're looking at there. I've certainly seen different designs that that in effect channelize the turn maneuver. So you're basically in a travel lane moving down the street before you would have an opportunity to jump out.
Yes.
It's pretty atypical and actually kind of awkward. I don't think we'd want to go there with Kesslinger Road and the volumes of traffic that we're experiencing there. To answer your question, with what we've got with the driveways to the south, it becomes very difficult to design a right-in, right-out pork chop that's going to direct vehicles in such a way that it's going to be impossible for them to violate it and do a U-turn. And I think that the larger the radius that you get, I'm not a traffic engineer, but the larger the radius you get on that right out,
mm-hmm.
the way you construct it, it creates a safety hazard, because then the motorist that's navigating that turn is losing visual contact over his shoulder with traffic coming from the left side.
I see.
So that's kind of a slippery slope, and you're into very detailed engineering considerations there.
Well, that's expensive than his traffic light at the other intersection, though. Okay, that's all I don't have any more questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hill. Alderman Piper, can I let Director Dinges say something before you have a question? That's a punishment for side talking.
Just a little power. See what happens?
No, go ahead. Go ahead. Jesus. Come on. A little power.
I just want to make the committee aware of some of the concerns. Dick has gone through it. I think Alderman Brown hit it right on the head. Full access point to the north on the Delmar Circle is the preferred option that staff would like to see. It's interesting. The traffic study says that a right-in, right-out can handle the traffic, and I don't doubt that it can handle the traffic. I think the issue is the traffic movements that will occur if the only access point is a right-in, right-out. I know we've seen it before. There will be the illegal turns for mm-hmm. vehicles that want to head east. Vehicles coming from the west are going to also do that illegal movement going around this way. This is on a hill, so sight can become an issue.
This is almost the crest of the hill, right?
It's at the crest, so it's a preferred location. It's the best we can get. So I see a future issue if that's the only access point of a right in, right out. If that's what the city council moves forward with, I would recommend that in the future, because I believe it'll occur, is if we get to a point where there's accidents occurring caused by these illegal movements, it's on the developer's dime or the owner's dime to build the median that KDOT will require. Please note that what that will require, or what that will do, is properties to the south will now become right in, right out as well. And that's why we were able to talk KDOT out of putting the median right now, so we didn't impact from a new development existing businesses to the south. So that illegal movement, I'm confident it will happen. This isn't new. We've had this on our comments dating way back when this project was brought several years ago. At that time, they showed a full access. However, they didn't pursue KDOT, to my knowledge. Otherwise, we would have known this several years ago. The other issue is the $400,000 that's being discussed with a traffic signal. I have not been in those negotiations, but when you're talking about utilizing existing road system that's privately owned by Delnor, they talked about maintenance. I believe that $400,000 goes towards the long-term maintenance of the drive, along with a contribution towards the signal. And the dollar amounts that they're talking about, if that includes a one-time payment for the maintenance of this ring road, to me it's fairly reasonable. Those are the main concerns that we've, as staff, have talked about, and I just want to make you guys aware of here's what we envision happening if it's only a right-in, right-out. It is interesting to note that they have other facilities in the area, and all of them have at least two access points, most of them being full access, one being a full access plus a right-in, right-out. That's all I have.
Thank you, Dan.
Can you just clarify one point? The access to the north is not possible. Delnor said point blank they will not allow it. The access through their parking lot is what they could allow in their view, and that brings up the issue we spoke about. Thank you.
Okay, we have Piper, Flanagan, and Marks, but first Chief Olson would like to say something really quick, and I have a feeling it might clarify your question, Alderman Piper, so we'll just look.
To clarify this, any fire apparatus or emergency or ambulance apparatus or approach from the west will have to negotiate this pork chop too, and they don't do that very well. The alternative is that they'll go past this site, have to do a U-turn up in the Delnor lot, come back from the east so they can get into the property. The other alternative is to go against traffic up through the pork chop, and that's not anything we ever do. We don't try to put ourselves in direct conflict with traffic. So, and as for who would be responding from the west, it would be Elburn and St. Charles. Ambulances at St. Charles Station 3 can come down Peck Road. It does that frequently, and it'll come up on Kessinger. And that will be the first ambulance into this facility. And I guarantee you we will be getting a number of ambulance calls out of this facility. That's just the nature of the business.
Got a question for Dick.
Thank you, Chief.
It'll be about an hour before she gets to me, so it's fine.
Alderman Piper, I'd like to cordially invite you to just ask away, even though you've had two or three times on the mic, but, you know, please.
Unbelievable.
It's all about you.
Dick, please. After all of this, it sounds to me like a full access on here, there's no way it's going to happen. Not on Kesslinger. There's nothing we can do to make a full access.
No, that's not going to happen.
That's not going to happen. So we're not going to get a full access on Kesslinger. We're not going to get a full access anywhere on this into this property, correct?
Well, we think that, you know, what's been stated here this evening is that Delnor will not approve an access to the north. We think there still is a potential for an access to the east.
Through the parking lot.
Through that parking lot, correct.
I just want to add to that, too. The fire apparatus is not going to make that. You have to hang a U-turn.
If
you come in through this spot here,
there's
a barrier medium right here. This point is where they want to put access. The fire
truck has to negotiate those terms as well. It seems to me that as we sit here and say this, everybody stands up and says, this is a viable project, and we're ready to go, and we're ready to dig, and yet this is not a viable project. We can't get fire apparatus in there. We can't get an ambulance in there. I wouldn't put my grandparents, my parents in here. We can't get an ambulance in here. And we're right on hospital property. The hospital won't let you have full access. I wouldn't put anybody in a nursing home that doesn't have full access. I don't want to ride in, ride out right there. I certainly don't want to come over the crest of that hill on my motorcycle with people trying to swing a U-turn. I mean, that's a dangerous stretch of road to start with. I know it's a piece of property where everything would fit. And I know you guys run class facilities. I have no doubt in my mind. But I can't vote for this because it feels like we're trying to wedge this in here and trying to do something that is, in the long term, I know we're all thinking with our wallets right now, but long term it just doesn't seem like this is something that's going to work out because we can't get that last piece of the puzzle. It seems like we're trying to wedge it in, and it just it's not going to work long term. In my mind, unless I'm absolutely missing something, it doesn't seem like it's going to fit, guys. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm missing something, but I don't think I am.
Just to comment, property's been zoned for this use for many years. The applicant sits there with bona fide development rights. He's got a zoning compliant project, except for this access issue, and so I to say that this property owner is beholden either to the city and KDOT in terms of a variance for an emergency access on Kesslinger, or beholden to Delnor for cooperation on access into the site. That's absolutely the case.
And that's great. But the last time I was laying in the middle of the street and an ambulance full of paramedics showed up, I was thrilled to see them and real happy that they could get there right away and weren't impeded by anything.
Right.
That scares the hell out of me, to be honest with you, that anything. I mean, we don't allow speed bumps in town specifically for that reason. You know, seconds mean everything, and negotiating a pork chop or having to figure out that you have to make a U-turn or you have to go through Delnor or you have to go between two buildings, or there's a fender bender, and now, you know, two people aren't moving their cars, and there's an ambulance trying to get through, or God knows what could happen. The confusion of trying to get in there could mean life or death for somebody. These are the things going through my head. I'm just throwing that out there. I don't know where anybody else is at.
Thank you. Alderman Flanagan is next with Marks after that.
Thank you, Chairman, Madam Chairman.
See how easily I did not confuse you with anyone else like the mayor does. I don't know what his problem is.
I have no idea. And we're wearing black.
Exactly.
A lot's been said,
and I agree with all of what's been said. I'll make it short. I really think that unless you can get a full access point, I don't think this development's going to fly.
You're next.
I'm not going to vote for it. I know that we have a lot of issues with things coming in and out on just a normal mall kind of situation, and I know that doesn't have the same potential of the traffic volume, but it has to have full access. And somehow, some way, you guys have to sit down at the negotiating table and find out a solution. Thank you.
Thank you, Alderman Flanagan. Okay, we have Dantino, Hill, Burns, and Singer. So Alderman Dantino, because no, Alderman Marks, fine. You said right. Thank you.
I think the I agree that we do need a second a point to access the thing, but I think the motion is that they have to go back to the mm-hmm. and come back to us with that thing. So we're voting on approving a nursing home, I guess, and they have to come back to us and have that access. So I will vote yes on this. Hopefully they can go back to the negotiating table and come back with something that's satisfactory. And then,
I think it's a full point of access. That's the issue.
I don't know what's stated and what kind of access they have to have, but
All right. Well, I'll just reread the motion.
Please do.
Because I know how you guys like that.
Thank you.
Consider draft resolution granting conditional site plan approval for nursing home facility Meadowbrook Manor within the office research district.
And then
the recommendation is, with the two recommendations, the applicant shall provide a written agreement between Meadowbrook Manor and Del Nor Hospital, which secures the nature and location of a secondary access to Del Nor Drive. And number two, final engineering shall be approved prior to building permit issuance by the city, which gives us the final word no matter what.
Madam Chairman, if I might add, what the staff did recommend was that the first condition on the access be tied to a building permit trigger. In other words, prior to building permit issuance.
Point of order.
Thank you.
So that
point of order, Mr.
Yes.
Unsch, that first condition states the nature and location of a secondary access. What
full
we've been
access.
Debating tonight is the difference between two different kinds of secondary
yes.
access. Which does this particular
Thank you.
Proposal cover? Is it a full secondary access, or is a emergency vehicle only secondary access?
Emergency.
I think the motion should be clarified before we vote.
Correct. That's a good point.
Yes.
In your, it says in your language here.
I know that Director Dinges was made some comments about this being a full access. I know we've had development staff discussions about it being an emergency access. I don't want to speak for the fire department, but I know that this has principally been a concern of emergency vehicle access to the site, and that the second access would be an emergency vehicle access. But I also know that there are staff concerns about just having a full second access to the site, not conditioned to being just emergency.
Ms. Chairwoman,
I'm not sure.
I move that we amend the motion on the floor to add the word full secondary access
in
the
second.
First condition.
I second that.
Okay. Thank you, Alderman Brown. We have a motion by Alderman Brown and a second by Alderman Flanagan. So we're going to go ahead and take a voice
Point
vote.
Of clarification.
Of course. Alderman Piper. Pollock. Oh, dang it.
Look who did it. Look who did it.
Madam Chairwoman, I would like to direct this to Alderman Brown, if I might.
Okay, can we speak to
Don, here it is. It says, a paved and unobstructed secondary access to the site is required for emergency services. I guess, what's the definition of a full access versus an unobstructed access?
It's emergency. I was amending the motion as read by the chair, which is the recommendation from the city staff, which states which will secure the nature and location of a secondary access to Del Nor Drive. I would like to change that, which will secure the nature and location of a full secondary access to Del Nor Drive.
Thank you.
So right now we're going to just vote on that amendment, and we do have quite a list of people who'd still like to speak. But let's go ahead and take care of the amendment. We'll do a roll call, if you wouldn't mind.
I'd like to speak to the amendment, if I may.
Of course.
Just speaking to the amendment offered by Alderman Brown, my concern is that, we've lost a little bit of focus with respect to the original comments made earlier in the meeting, comments agreed to by staff and certainly comments agreed to by the developer. And we were, I think, pretty clear in that regard. Alderman Dantino said it well. Our direction is return to the negotiating table, return to then to the city with a satisfactory secondary access, and then we'll go from there. I think if this committee tonight votes no in the majority, we have, in essence, killed all negotiations from moving forward. And I don't know if that's a good idea. And we've had some neighboring municipalities do exactly that. And I'd certainly hate to see this property sit fallow for another God knows how many years. So I think any time we can allow negotiations to continue in the spirit in which they were first conveyed, like Mr. Dantino stated, we should do so. So I think by offering an amendment for a full access more or less kills that negotiation.
I think it makes it more.
Alderman Piper, you'd like to speak to the amendment?
No, I just like to the mayor's comment. I disagree. I'm all for what they're doing. If they have a full access, if they can go back to Donna, if they can figure out a way to do this, by all means, I'm behind it 100%. If they can go back and negotiate something, fantastic. Let's do it. But without a full access, I just think let's not waste their time or anybody else's. Let's move forward. If they can do that, I just don't want to see anybody moving forward with any false pretense. I don't think the room does. I appreciate everything you said, and I have the utmost respect, but I think that moving forward, if we can get a full access, if there's anything we can do to help, let's do it. I don't think anybody in this room wants to see that property sit or thinks this is a bad plan. But I think everybody's got a big concern about that. And if you guys could figure out a way to do that, I think this would be an absolutely unanimous thing that would pass through.
And we're going to take a vote on that amendment in just a minute, but Alderman Pollack would like to speak to the amendment.
Thanks, Don. I think what we've done is we've created a roadmap for you to say to Delnor, look, we need full access. Bottom line, without it, it's not going to happen. And so either that ties your hands good or that ties your hands bad. I don't know the answer to that question. Do you want to speak to that?
You know, I've had probably the most conversations with Delnor for over a year with all of those folks, and they are not willing to consider for one moment access to Delnor Drive. That's what they've told us. That if they've been clear on anything, they've been clear on that. And the only seams that they've given us in terms of negotiation is a grasscrete pavement to the north for emergency only, which is all that was requested to us in terms of the staff report and in terms of the plan review. Delnor was not interested in doing that. You're not interested in changing your grasscrete ordinance. It has to be paved unfettered. And then after that was off the table, and we tried to intervene in a number of different ways to get around that problem. We were unable to. At a secondary meeting that I had with my clients in Delnor, based upon the cooperation between sharing physicians, sharing double staff nursing time, using some of the nursing home patients to the dialysis treatment center, which is the one building next to the secondary parking lot, they did give us the ability to connect at that parking lot to parking lot for that secondary emergency access point, which again was run through staff. And came back to us is that if Delnor would permit that, it would be all right, that would fulfill the secondary access point for emergency vehicles only. That's what we presented at the Plan Commission meeting, as I mentioned before, and we were only a maintenance agreement away from that. To require Delnor to give us full access point, they're, again, on Delnor Drive, they're not interested in doing it. And there is no access easements, no cross easements. This property has been landlocked, not by the petitioner, by all of the other regulations that have come into effect that was done. When the original plan was approved a number of years ago, the city of Geneva approved that plan with a single full access point with no provision for a secondary access point. So some of the discussions we're hearing tonight is brand new topics, but I don't think it's going to be viable to require or demand that Delnor give access to us. Delnor Drive is a private drive. The parking lots are their parking lots. They don't have to give us access. And so we've exhausted those possibilities.
There was a lot of discussion regarding the right in and right out. Do you have a contrary opinion as to the problems it would create?
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but we need to stick with just speaking to the amendment, and then we'll start rolling through the list again. Is that okay?
That's fine.
Thank you. Okay, let's go ahead and vote on the amendment, which would change it to requiring a full access. Madam Recording Secretary, would you mind calling the roll call, please?
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Ralph Dantino?
Nay.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Nay.
Craig Maladra?
Nay.
Richard Marks?
Nay.
Ray Pollack?
Nay.
Robert Piper?
Aye.
Rodden Singer?
Nay.
Don Vogelsberg?
Nay. 7-3, motion fails. So now
it clarifies. We're now talking about any kind of a secondary access, which is
yes.
Fine with me. That's fine. It clarifies the original motion.
So now we are back to the original motion, and we do have a few people that would still like to speak to that original motion. Alderman Dantino?
Nothing at this time. Thank you.
Thank you. Alderman Hill?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I stole away from my chair here to talk to Mr. Dingus asking about this grassy escape route, whatever you want to call it, to the north. And I guess that causes problems, especially in the wintertime, because it can cause the problem in snow removal. And but that's also contrary to our ordinances, which is also inhibiting the developer an opportunity to exit the property to the north. I wish that we could come to some solution, but I'm torn between wanting an emergency exit out of this property with ease to the hospital and without possibly causing a situation where there'd be more traffic accidents, and I don't see it right now. Thank you, Madam Chairman.
I would only like to reiterate what I said earlier, and I would encourage the members of the committee that if we're sincere about wanting to move this project forward that we've all endorsed conceptually, save for the access issue, we should provide the applicant, with us at the table, the opportunity to negotiate that access. Because I can tell you right now, if the sticking point is between Meadowbrook and Delnor, then I will be sitting at the table with Meadowbrook to help negotiate. If it's with KDOT, I'll sit at the table with Meadowbrook to help negotiate. I think if we vote no tonight, we kill a project that we all, A, believe is correct for the city. It's consistent with our goals and objectives for the city. The Plan Commission overwhelmingly endorsed it. We all, I think, viscerally know this is good, but there's just a slight whoopsie-daisy in the final plan. And let's not throw out the baby for the bathwater by voting no tonight.
Thank you, Mayor. Alderman Singer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a question for Chief Olson.
All right.
Chief, you alluded to this issue earlier in your answers. I was wondering, how much of a strain will this facility have on the means of providing ambulance service to our community?
It will add to the call load that we handle now.
Yes.
Yes, it will. Have we quantified it? No. It's we'd have to dig in more into the nature of the types of patients they have. If it's a independent living type of facility, if it's more of a skilled nursing, which I believe it's mostly skilled nursing. So that's going to be patients who tend to require treatment at the hospital more often. So it will result in an increase of cost for us. To tell you how many, I think it would be hard to predict. But it'll give us a bump.
They will not have an ambulance service to provide for their clientele, apparently.
I don't believe so.
911. We have med vans that transport our patients for scheduled activities at the hospital.
Non-emergency calls do not use the paramedics.
No. Right. No, scheduled transports, they'll have to do that with a private service.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Chief.
Sure.
Thank you,
Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Alderman Singer. Alderman Piper, did you want to speak again?
I'm good.
Alderman D'Antino.
I'm good.
Alderman Pollack.
Thank you, madam. Gentlemen, regarding the right-in, right-out, we've heard a lot of commentary that, it's a safety issue, fire trucks can make the turn, people are going to get lost, et cetera, et cetera. What's your opinion on the right-in, right-out?
We don't like it. We wanted full access. It's a KDOT's call. KDOT said right in, right out. They approved what you see in front of you.
Well, I tend to be in the same camp you are. I think the right in, right out is short of fully complementing this facility, that you certainly need full access. I think the project is beneficial to Geneva. And I think we should do everything we can, as the mayor alluded to, sitting down with you to try and hammer out a deal with Dale Nora. I will vote in favor of the motion and wish you good luck. Thank you.
Thank you. If you want to investigate further the right in or right out, then we'd have to be negotiating with KDOT as well, or
and
in addition
KDOT.
To.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know if that's what the ordinance says or your proposed resolution.
Well, we've got to speak to KDOT and to Dale Nora, and, you know, let's hope it works. Call the question?
No, we still have Alderman Flanagan on the list.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I'm encouraged that the mayor has stepped in and said that he would try to step into the negotiations that might help this facility to get off the ground. I'm not against the facility. I'm against the safety issue when it comes to the right in, right out. I think it needs another full access. In the spirit of this coming back to us, I will change my vote. But in the spirit of it coming back to us, we still have the opportunity to vote one more time. Do we not? Or is this just whatever access they get? And
well, you have a city council consideration after this meeting. But the way the motion is structured, its approval conditioned upon this secondary access being worked out prior to the issuance of a building permit.
So
assuming that the city council would act favorably, if you voted as a group to approve this project tonight with that condition, you acted favorably at the city council level, this would be a site plan approval, it would be conditioned upon this secondary access being worked out prior to the issuance of a building permit. So you have control at that point. It's just that it's at the staff level. We would be coming back to you with the building permit.
Gotcha.
Alderman Brown.
Can I ask Mr. Unch a question before he sat down?
No.
Not my exercise tonight.
The exact middle of this property is right across the street from an entrance on the south side. Was there no consideration of making that an intersection that connected? You could at least sign it on both sides, intersection ahead. It would be a lot safer.
Yeah.
A single driveway on one side is much less safe than a driveway. Then it looks like a full proper city corner, and people are a little more careful and can be signed appropriately. And KDOT turned that down?
That is correct.
KDOT, no sense.
And the reason for it, and again, I'm not a traffic engineer, but the reason for it was they were working to achieve more of a midpoint between Del Nor Drive and what would be Fisher Drive with this access point. And so when you really look at the area map here, you can kind of see it with the access where the red line kind of starts there with the right at the E in Kesslinger there, the second E in Kesslinger. They were looking to strike that midpoint location for the right-in, right-out between Del Nor Drive and Fisher. So that's how that evolved. And that was a KDOT call. That was not a staff call or a developer call.
Certainly this plan will add more traffic to Del Nor Drive, whether they like it or not. So it seemed to me it's in their best interest to negotiate. Thank you.
Alderman Hill.
I'd like to call a previous question and have a vote on this issue.
Okay, so we are back to the original amendment of the, the original motion of the draft resolution granting conditional site plan with the two additional
conditions.
Thank you. So we are going to go ahead and I thought it was tomorrow. We're going to go ahead and have a voice vote, if you don't, or a roll call, if you don't mind, Madam Secretary.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Ralph Dantino?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Craig Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Ray Pollack?
Aye.
Robert Piper?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye. Motion passes unanimously, and this will come to City Council next week, and then it will be in the hands of the staff. Okay, thank you all for your all the patience and answers to all our questions. Our next item is to consider a draft ordinance authorizing execution of preliminary final subdivision plat for Eakins Farm, which is at 1 North 711 Brundage Road.
So moved.
Second.
That is a motion by Dantino, a second by Hill. And Mr. Unch, would you be the person we would be directing our questions to on this also? Does anyone from the committee have a question on this? Okay. Hearing none, let's go right to a voice vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any nays? Any abstentions? Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Okay, our next item is consider draft evolution. Revolution. Sorry. Consider draft resolution authorizing execution of operation and maintenance agreement with Caterpillar Power Generation LLC. And can I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
That's Dantino and Flanagan. And we have Director Dinges here. If anyone has any questions. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't see. Superintendent Mike Buffington, do we have any questions on the floor? Alderman Pollack.
Thanks, Madam Chairwoman. Hello, Mike. Really quick, regarding, it wasn't competitively bid, and the reason for that is why?
There are only people who service the engines.
They're the only ones that would service those engines?
Yes.
Okay. And then in the contract, there's a performance bonus for performing more than the greater than 98% availability.
Yes.
Can you just comment on that? What exactly are you saying in that? That if
what we're saying is I put a penalty and a bonus on them based on their ability to keep the engines running, then we have a bonus built into there. If they don't do that, then there's also a penalty.
Isn't that what we want them to do, is to keep them running? Isn't that part of the contract?
Yes.
So why would we reward them with a bonus?
It was an incentive. I was more interested in penalizing them, and so I also threw the bonus in there.
Okay. And then I noticed that there's language that refers to the Euro and Caterpillar being a Delaware corporation domiciled in Peoria, Illinois. Why do we have language concerning the value of the euro?
Everything but the fixed contract is in the dollar. Let's see, put that back. The fixed contract is in the dollar. Everything else is based on the euro. So whatever the euro does is.
Why did you choose the euro?
I did not choose the euro. They chose the euro. Most of their employees are foreign. They have been working on there, and they are all paid in euro.
So would they be bringing people overseas, from overseas, to work on it?
Yes.
And parts.
I think parts. The engines are built in Germany.
We bought these things from Europe. We've had Germans. We had Guatemala.
Well, I know they were. They was manufactured in Europe, but. Okay. Thank you.
Anyone else have any questions? All right. We're going to move right to a voice vote. All in favor? Please say aye.
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 All opposed?
Nay.
Any abstentions? Okay, that leaves us at 9 ayes and 9 to 1. Thank you. Our next consideration is for a draft resolution authorizing declaration of surplus property for 1987 Vermeer
V450 Trencher.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Pollock, second by Hill or Piper?
Close.
Piper.
Like looking in a mirror.
Piper.
Okay, does anyone have any questions on this motion? Okay, let's go to a voice vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion passes unanimously. Our next consideration is for a draft resolution authorizing the execution of local agency agreement for federal participation, FAU, for 1678 Anderson Boulevard, Routes 38 to Gray Street. And I believe,
Move approval.
Motion by Hill.
Second.
Second by Singer. And we have City Engineer Broviak here if we have any questions from the committee. Hearing none, we will take a voice vote. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Our next consideration is for approval of temporary outdoor liquor license and related lot closure at 65 North River Lane for Swedish Days, June 22nd through 27th, 2010. This is just a housekeeping issue that we do every year before Swedish Days. The police department has reviewed the applications, and everything is consistent with our ordinance. Can I have a motion?
Move approval.
Second.
Hill, second by Singer. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Okay, we're down to new business, which is great because we still have another meeting after this. First, let me ask if there's anyone in the audience that has any new business. No? Okay, Alderman Singer.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chairman. I, along with the American Legion Pool 75, would like to invite all the council members and all the citizens of Geneva to our Memorial Day services, which will begin on Monday, the 31st of this month. There will be a rifle salute, which will start at the Eastside Cemetery at 6:15 a.m., followed by a salute at the State Street Bridge, the Kane County Veterans Memorial, and Geneva Township Building in Wheeler Park. The parade will step off that morning at 10 a.m., proceed on to 3rd Street to the Westside Cemetery. The memorial service will follow once all the parade units have entered the cemetery. Sergeant Major Zachrod Beck of the 108th Sustainment Brigade of the Illinois National American Guard will be our guest speaker. Deacon Steve Lowe of St. Mark's Episcopalian Church will be our guest chaplain. So I'm inviting all our members of the council and our citizens to be, of course, involved in this Memorial Day parade, and it's always been very, very successful. So thank you, Madam Chairman.
Well, thank you, Alderman Singer. We do like to celebrate with you that day. Alderman Hill.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I just wanted to throw some compliments to the Water and Sewer Department for the report that has been issued with our utility bill this month. Some of you may have already seen it. If you already have, I hope you've had a chance to read it. It points out the drinking water quality for calendar year 2009, and a report completed by Mike Martins, who is a local young man, former neighbor of mine, and he's doing a great job, as are all of the people in the Water and Sewer Department. I think it's important for everybody to read it as closely as possible and to attempt to figure out how much of the chemicals have been removed by our drinking water facility that we approved several years ago. And then I had the opportunity to talk to one of Mr. Van Giskum's staff members about the actual cost increase to my own water and sewer bill. Since I was opposed to the increase, I thought I ought to find out how much more I was paying. And would you believe that it only increased $1.25 this month? I couldn't believe it.
Conversation on the phone costs $7.95.
That's true. I think that was great. It's not that much. I know I opposed it because of I didn't want any cost increases to our residents and our taxpayers. But I think even one of us who's on Social Security and another couple of few benefits can afford a buck and a quarter, so I hope everybody else can. And I do want to encourage the general public, the citizens of Geneva, to stop using water softener salt. It's unnecessary. It's costing you more money than you will pay, and you can actually save yourself money by not using it and using the water that we are providing for you as a city government. Thank you, Madam.
Thank you, Alderman Hill. Any other new business? I'd just like to thank you guys for being so patient with me, my first time. We're having a next meeting after this. Mayor Burns will be back. But since I have three teenagers, I want the gavel and the mic shut off. Is that too much for to ask?
Not at all.
Motion to adjourn.
All we need is a motion to adjourn, and we have that from Dantino.
So moved.
Okay, and Singer?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, unanimous. Thank you.
We're
just going to take a few-minute break before we switch seats and put the mayor back where he belongs. And that's
it.